Welcome into the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Jason Williams. We are the day after breaking down the Bengals win over the Cleveland Browns. It was a big win for the Bengals for a lot of reasons, but the main story will be that that was the team that the Bengals had struggled to beat for years. Joe Burrow was 0-4 heading into this game. It was the team that the Bengals, for whatever reason, just struggled in tough matchups with them. But despite all the adversity the team had to face, they were able to win. And I thought it was a really impressive win because everybody was amped up for the Chiefs game. They had all of their stars. And yes, beating the Chiefs was a really big deal. But I almost felt like I gained a lot more respect for the Bengals after this win because they didn't have Tyler Boyd. They didn't have T. Higgins. They kind of had to figure out how to win. And I feel like right now, over the last month, whether it be how they ran the ball in Tennessee, you know, how Burrow played against the Chiefs, or, you know, yesterday, Ja'Marr Chase carrying the load and getting help from guys like Trenton Irwin and Trenton Taylor, and how the defense played. Like, I feel like every week the Bengals are showing that they can beat you in any way they need to. And I think that's what has caught my attention about the Bengals. Jason, what caught your attention in yesterday's win over the Browns?
Well, that's right. I mean, they just found a way to win. This is just, they're continuing to show that they can do that. And I go back to that Carolina game. I think it was after the Carolina game where Joe Burrow said, you know, we're just going to have to find ways to win. And, you know, he wasn't, I think he was talking about days like today. You know, I think what he was saying was there's going to be injuries this year. It's going to be different than last year. And I think you saw that yesterday. I also feel like, you know, this, the defense, a season low, 10 points they gave up yesterday. I thought they were just really good. And, you know, and it's, you look up and you realize, you know, they've been pretty good all year. And, you know, with the exception of maybe that Cleveland game and just some, you know, some times here and there, but, they've been very consistent all season. And, you know, on a day when there were injuries on the offense and the offense wasn't at its best, the defense once again showed up, and that really stood out to me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I'm glad that you wrote your column on the defense, because I think it's so easy with all the stars the Bengals have on offense to not give credit to the Bengals defense. And I wrote this in my story. They're not flashy, as you mentioned in your column. You know, DJ Reader is the closest thing to a star. I would probably argue that Trey Hendrickson is pretty close there. Last year he was a Pro Bowler, but his personality doesn't really show like he's a star. Like, I think that's what's different about the Bengals defense, is they don't have a player with like a super big personality who like racks up the stat sheet, similar to like TJ Watt, Max Crosby, those type of guys. They just have really good players at every level of the field. On defense up front, DJ Reader's having a Pro Bowl caliber season, and Sam Hubbard is on track to have his best season of his career. Them losing Trey Hendrickson for a couple games, it seems like, based off the news last night that he broke his wrist, that's going to be significant because he's a really good player. But they have Joseph Osai waiting, and they've been grooming him for situations like this. Then at linebacker, Logan Wilson had 15 tackles yesterday. That's crazy. And then Jermaine Pratt created the game-changing forced fumble against the Chiefs last week. And then on the back end, they have two of the most experienced safeties in the league, in Jesse Bates and Von Bell. And they're covering up what you could argue is the weakest part of the Bengals secondary, in not having Cheeto, having to start Cam Taylor-Britt at corner, and Eli Apple. I mean, we all said it coming into the season, like the Bengals might be weakest at cornerback, but I mean, Eli Apple might not be, you know, the best corner in the league, but we haven't really talked about, outside of that Carolina game, you really haven't had a game where you and I sit next to each other and I'm like, ugh, Eli Apple's really getting worked today. And Taylor Britt made that huge play on fourth down. So I think they're just a really solid, well-coached, unselfish unit, and they deserve the praise. So I'm glad that you focused your column on that.
Thanks. I'm old school guy, so I like defense a lot. I know the league is driven by offense, but I'm very I love good defense, and I think the Bengals, all season have played good defense. And you're exactly right. Logan Wilson, I talked to him after the game, and he just said we have really good players across the defense. I'm paraphrasing him, but you know what he was saying was there's no superstars, and yet there's no duds either. Mm-hmm. They're just across the board, they have really good players, and that they play as one. And it was funny because I talked to DJ Reader on one end of the locker room, and he said, everybody plays unselfishly, no one cares who gets the credit. Then I went down the other end of the locker room and asked Logan Wilson, hey, what's why is this defense so good? And he basically almost said the exact same thing. So they are all definitely on the same page.
Yeah, and for those that haven't been in the locker room, they really are on the opposite side of each other on the locker room. So that's funny. But yeah, I think that's what – and we'll see how this goes, but I think that's what makes this defense dangerous in the postseason, because they've returned almost all of their starters – and they've been in big games before. Like, have you and I ever sat next to each other? I don't think this year. Maybe we have. Correct me if I'm wrong. But because you weren't in Cleveland, and that's what you said in your column, like, that was probably the worst performance the Bengals defense had. But it's so rare to say, like, oh, that was a miscue. That guy wasn't lined up in the right spot. And when I asked Jesse Bates after the game, yesterday, I said, you getting that interception today, do you feel like you're starting to get hot? Because last year around this time was when he really started to get going and had some interceptions and then played really well in the playoffs. He said, yes, there's some of that, I feel. But he said, my main job is to make sure everybody gets lined up right. And when you have your veteran safeties like taking so much pride in simply just making sure the defense is lined up in the right spots, that's the type of stuff that you can't coach that. That's just like individual want and care for how this unit plays. And I think that if they're, put in some big games here over the next couple of weeks, it must be really reassuring for Zach Taylor and Bengals fans to know, like, the defense at this point has pretty much seen every look that they're going to get. That for them right now, it's just going to be about executing. And you'd feel a lot better that you have a really talented offense and a really smart defense, as opposed to like a super young defense with a lot of talent, but maybe they don't have the experience. Like, this defense has the experience, and I think that's what can make them dangerous in the postseason. So let's talk about that a little bit, because yesterday's win, you and I have said, you basically have to get to 10 wins in the AFC to get into the playoffs. The Bengals are knocking on the door, but things have changed dramatically since Halloween night when we were wondering, are the Bengals for real? They could, depending on how this thing plays out, potentially host a playoff game and win the division. Like, that's very much still something they can do, because if they keep winning, Baltimore keeps winning, which I don't think Baltimore's going to keep winning. I think they're going to drop one here without Lamar Jackson. They were able to get by Pittsburgh yesterday, but Mitchell Trubisky threw three red zone interceptions. They play the Browns this week and then the Steelers again. And I just think one of those games without Lamar, they're not going to be able to hold up. But say the Bengals keep winning and the Ravens keep winning, that final week of the season could be for that home playoff game, because the first tiebreaker in the NFL playoff picture is overall record. So if the Bengals beat the Ravens, they would have a better overall record, and they would then go from potentially being a wild card spot to hosting a playoff game, which would just be absolutely wild. So Baltimore Bengals fans is the team that you really need to pay attention to here. They're neck and neck with them, same record right now. Baltimore has the leg up because they beat the Bengals and have a better division record. But as long as the Bengals continue to take care of business, that's all they can do. And I don't think they're going to win out. I think the Bengals might have one game where they lose. They might even have two games. But it's, to me, it's all about getting to 10, and they've got four games to do it. Do you feel the same way where, you know, even if they drop one or two here and over this next four game stretch, that you'll still feel pretty confident about them heading into the postseason?
Oh yeah, I feel absolutely, and I honestly think they could win out. I think it'll be hard. You know, you're going to New England on Christmas Eve, Tampa Bay next week, and then obviously those last two games against two really good teams. But the way they're playing right now, and you know, well, you know, if they played like they did yesterday on offense, yeah, they're not going to win out. But or maybe they will, because you know, they're just finding ways to win. But I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility for them to run the table here down the stretch, especially when you look at it. The toughest two teams are at home, in Buffalo and Baltimore. And this team's just it just feels like it's in a zone right now. It's on a roll. And I wasn't around the team last year, obviously changing jobs. But just from what I've talked to people and kind of observing it, I think this team's at this moment versus last year, you'd probably say is better.
No question. They're better. They're way better up front. I think we should also talk about that. They only allowed two sacks on Burrow yesterday. I mean, do you remember week one when they allowed seven sacks and then six sacks again against the Cowboys? They're playing so well, and that's the main reason they're better. Burrow's playing better than he was last year. T. Higgins is playing better than he was last year. Overall, I think almost every single player is playing better. So a big win for the Bengals. But let's talk a little bit about the upcoming matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When the schedule came out, it was Burrow versus Brady. This game's going to be a tough game for the Bengals. And I did not get a chance to watch the game against the 49ers, but I watched some of the highlights during Sunday Night Football, and I'll go back and do some more work on that game here over the next couple of days. But Tampa doesn't scare me for the Bengals. Do they scare you?
No, not at all. They got blown out by the 49ers, and they were terrible the week before against New Orleans and barely eked it out in the end. They're just not a very good team. And I expect the Bengals to go in there and win next week. The NFC South is just not good. And they would complete the sweep of the NFC South with a win over Tampa Bay. And, you know, originally, you looked at this game, you thought, woof, this might be one of their losses. But as of right now, that's changed, and I expect them to go in there and win next week.
Yeah, so do I. I just didn't think, and I'll have to dig more into this, and I'm excited to ask coaches and players what they're seeing on tape. But talk about one of the most, I don't know what word I'm looking for here, but you didn't see this coming type of teams where, I mean, they can't even score more than 7 points in a game with Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and a pretty stacked offense. So that to me is like very interesting. And I don't know if we're seeing the end of Tom Brady, but I will say the Bengals are really going to have to step on the gas against the Bucs, because if they leave them hanging around, that's when Tom Brady does scare me. Because I have seen that guy was covered in the Super Bowl back in 2016 when the Bengals were up 28-3. There he comes, and, you know, brought the Patriots back to Super Bowl win. You saw what he did against the Saints on Monday Night Football last week. Like, that's in his veins. So I feel like for the Bengals to win, they'll probably really going to have to step on it on offense and on defense, continue to have another performance like they did, because that was kind of how the 49ers were able to win yesterday. They put up a lot of points and their defense just harassed Brady all day. So it'll be a fun week talking about this matchup. Obviously, there's a lot of star power because a lot of people have compared Burrow, saying, is he the next Tom Brady? He, of course, is going to not want to talk about that at all because he doesn't do comparisons. But this should be a fun matchup to talk about. And we will have coverage on Cincinnati.com all week for that game. But right as of right now, if you look at the AFC playoff picture, just wanted to bring this up before we close this one out today. But right now, the Bills are the number one overall seed, 10-3. The Chiefs, number two. Ravens, number three. Titans, number four. Bengals now in the number five spot. Miami Dolphins, who lost to the Chargers last night, six. Chargers, seven. And then on the bubble, the Jets, the Patriots, and the Jags, really. But that's kind of, I feel like the AFC has really separated itself, right? You've got like the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Ravens that seem like the top four teams. And then you've got the Dolphins and the Chargers kind of just like hanging around. It's kind of, who are they going to be that day? Same thing with the Titans. So the AFC playoff picture is kind of looking like we probably all thought it would at the beginning of the season with, and the main thing with those teams that are, you know, at the top of the AFC is the quarterback play. And the Bengals certainly are getting the most out of Burrow right now. So we will see how this all shakes out over the next month. Should be a fun month for us to continue to talk about the Bengals. So be sure to check out Cincinnati.com. Let us know what you want us to talk about on this podcast. We're here for your feedback. And Jason and I will keep you covered on this fun Bengals ride as much as we can. Thanks for tuning in.